In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I think Jordan Love is a good quarterback. I think he's a good up-and-coming quarterback. But if I have to hear about what he did to that Niners defense in that game one more time, guy didn't even throw for 200 yards. And in the biggest moment of the game, an awful decision. Awful decision. Across his body, 15 yards down the field, in the double coverage for a game-ending pick. Now, look, you can say, hey, he'll learn from that and all this other stuff. Sure, he might. But we can't talk about what he might do. We can't talk about what he's going to be in the future. If we're talking about what Brock Purdy did in that game, we have to talk about what Jordan Love did in that game. And Jordan Love was just all right in that game. He was just all right. He was a game manager in that game. There was a strategy by LaFleur that Jordan Love executed really, really well. Really, really well. They executed on third downs, all this other stuff. He was the game manager that everybody says Brock Purdy was or is. So I just said, oh, and then he capped it off by saying, if Jordan Love was in the Super Bowl for the Niners would have won the Super Bowl. Based on what? Based on his playoff performance? Is that what we're talking about? Like I said, if somebody doesn't see Brock Purdy the way I see Brock Purdy, that's perfectly fine. It's whatever. It's cool. I just need good reasoning behind it. And Chris Sims and others just keep giving bad reasonings. Just ridiculous. He's throwing the guys that are wide open. There are 8 passes off the top of my head that were not Kyle dialed somebody up. Dimes from Brock Purdy. Dropped in at a bucket. It's Brandon Ayuk's touchdown on Thanksgiving against Seattle in between 4 defenders. Jennings in the Green Bay game on third down where Brock threw it over 2 or 3 Packer defenders, mm-hmm. where only Juwan Jennings can go get it. I mean, we could do this all day. The throw against Jacksonville in the back of the end zone against Brandon Ayuk that was dropped into a bucket. What's this guy talking about? What are any of you talking about out there that say something crazy about this guy? This guy drops dimes routinely every game.
Who was talking about you?
Where did he have Jordan Love?
He had Jordan Love at 13.
And where was Brock?
17. The other thing about this sorry-ass list, it's got Jalen Hurts at 9.
Well,
Dak Prescott at 8. Those two are not better than Brock Purdy. I'm sorry.
You don't need to apologize.
They're not. Dak Prescott is all right. He's all right. He's the ultimate stat patter. He's all right. Jalen Hurts is – no, Jalen – the guy – no, then this dude Chris Sims, he's up there talking about, oh, you know, he can't throw people open. He can't get people open. What dimes is Jalen Hurts dropping in the playoffs? Guy was awful against Tampa Bay. He was awful for the last 9 weeks of the season. But no, we don't talk. He's top 10 quarterback. All right, B. All right.
Just for my own amusement, what's the list? Give me one to...
One to Brock?
No, one... Well, shoot. Yeah, give me one to Brock. That's 17?
Yeah.
Okay, give me one to Brock.
We'll go through it. One is Patrick
Mahomes.
It's
got to be Pat, yeah.
Lamar. Two is Josh Allen. Three is okay. Joe Burrow. Four is Lamar.
Okay.
Five is Matthew Stafford.
All right. Okay. I'm sorry. What?
Five is Matthew Stafford. You like six, too. Six is Justin Herbert.
Never mind. Forget it, dude. Just forget I asked. I was going to try to, like, work through. Never mind. Just forget it. This is a list. This is a hot take list.
He's got Trevor Lawrence at 11.
This isn't an honest assessment of anything. Forget it. Yeah, it's absurd. What a jackass. Like, come on, man. All right.
Yeah, man.
It just reminded me. I never went to. Here it is. Got it. I hadn't prior to this exact moment gone to. Oh, he just posted it this morning to see the details on Trevor Lawrence's deal, who you just mentioned a moment ago. He did, but there was a lot of inflated numbers there in that contract, as there normally is. Sometimes that's not necessarily true when it comes to quarterbacks, but it's definitely he's getting paid here. Trevor Lawrence got one of them Dak Prescott deals where he's going to get $82.6 million this year.
So real quick. Remember, I was with you yesterday, and it said 142 guaranteed?
Correct.
And it must have been 82 at signing?
I think it's 82 the first year, so he'll get $37 million when he signs the contract. Okay, that's his signing bonus. Okay. His base salary is 1.5. Then he has a 2025 option bonus that's $35 million. So over the course of the first calendar year of the deal, it's going to be, what I just say, 82?
Yeah,
$82 million. For context, Joe Burrow got $111 million in his first year. Justin Herbert got $100 million in his first year.
I'm thinking of the guarantee.
Signing bonuses and everything.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence will catch those guarantees for he'll make the bulk of his guarantees the first 2 years of the deal at $124 million. Again, it's ahead of Justin Herbert through 2 years, but it's behind Joe Burrow, who signed a very, very, very comfortable contract. I'm trying to see the year that you have to keep your eye on, and it looks like 2027. 2027 is the year where he's owed 35 plus a base salary of 6, so for a total of 41, $29 million of that $41 million is guaranteed right now. So in all likelihood, one way or another, 2027 is the year the contract is probably readjusted for Trevor Lawrence.
I was listening to the Morning Roast a couple days ago, and they were talking about Patrick Mahomes.
2029, he's due for $50 million. So this is, and this is what we talk about, by the way. I'm sorry to interrupt you. This is what we talk about, by the way, because this is where the annual numbers, this is what pissed Tyreek Hill off. This is why Tyreek Hill is upset right now. You use numbers in the last 2 years of this deal. So in 2029 and in 2030, his base salary is $50 million and $53 million. He's never going to see that.
Right.
That's $103 million the last 2 years of his contract. He's never going to see that.
That's
what brings up the annual average value of the contract are those two phony years right there.
Now, where does the guarantee come into play? Because they say he's guaranteed 142, I think.
So the guarantee, yeah, it's the signing.
Is that not included in that, the end of the deal or anything like that?
No.
So the signing bonus, you said?
Yeah, so obviously the signing bonus, the 2025 year is fully guaranteed. The 2026 year is fully guaranteed. And there's bonuses, there's workout bonuses, there's base salaries, there's a lot of stuff that gets that number up to that 120-something number that you just mentioned. It's not till 2027 where things start to get sketchy. Because, again, his option bonus for that year is 35. His base salary goes from $2 million to $6 million. Mm. And so that's a total of $41 million for that 2027 season. That's not crazy, but only 29 of it is guaranteed at signing. The other $12 million is only guaranteed if he's injured. It's only guaranteed if he's injured. Digging even a little bit further. Okay, interesting. So that 2027 year becomes fully guaranteed in 2026, regardless of injury or not. So at some point during the 2026 season, that $41 million could become fully guaranteed. But the $6 million base salary is what makes me think that contract's going to get renegotiated. Mm. And then that happens through 2027 as well, where a certain amount becomes guaranteed after a certain time in the previous season. And that goes on and on until you get to those final 2 years where it's just like there's nothing there that guarantees those dollars. Mm.
Moral of the story here.
NFL contracts are rocket science. That's the moral of the story.
The moral of the story is Chris Sims, look, man, football is your field. Like, if you tried to come in here and talk basketball to me, I'd look at you crazy. You probably feel the same way me talking football to you, or whatever the case may be. With that being said, you sound ridiculous, and you're wrong.
What was, where was Trevor Lawrence again? 11th?
11.
Boy. Brock Purdy got to be just... Brock Purdy got like, if he don't have at least $80 million worth of stuff on layaway right now, my God, that man gonna get paid.
He about to get the bag.
He is going to drown Trevor Lawrence's deal.
Mm. I don't know what the...
Who got the big one? Is Burrow. Burrow's got the biggest...
I think so. Or Deshaun.
Well, Deshaun... But they throw Deshaun's out because it's all real.
Okay. I think Brock... I'm thinking of guarantee money. I think Brock gets no less than 150. I'm thinking maybe 160. If Trevor got 142.
So that's happening this year, right? The end of.
Yeah. If Trevor got 142.
Yeah.
I could see, yep, 150, 160.
I could see it a little bit higher.
Maybe so. If he bring home a Super Bowl.
A little higher.
If he bring home a Super Bowl.
Oh,
might
my
be
God.
175.
Yeah, that's the number I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I was thinking 175. We'll come back. Connor Sutton's going to join us because I guess we're soccer guys today.
The soccer
guys. We'll bring Connor into our soccer conversation. The Republic got a big weekend, man. Excited to talk to our guy, Connor. Gus Armstead's going to join us at 2 o'clock. Will Z's back. He's got some things he wanted to talk about. James Hamm in the final hour of the show. Steve and Casey brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Now that I have the donut app in front of me, it's like overwhelming.
There's a donut app?
Well, no, I got it. It's Uber Eats, but like the menu is here.
A couple of times I thought about doing a DoorDash or Uber Eats. I wanted Chipotle. So
you mean for here?
Yeah. And I just never pulled the trigger.
What's your favorite donut again?
Yeah, let the audience be more familiar with you.
Hey, man, look, man, I'm talking donuts, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Why are you being weird about this?
I'm talking donuts,
I'm just.
Yeah, no worries. Hold on.
Like, they got the one with the nuts. Pause. I'm just.
See,
I'm just talking donuts.
All you had to do was say peanuts. Oh, God. Look, the ref baited you into it. The ref baited you into it.
Hey, I'm talking donuts. I preface. So, I said I'm talking donuts.
You know what that is? It's called a vanilla cake with peanut topping. Vanilla icing with peanut sprinkles. How do they not have the chocolate one? There's no chocolate
that's
donut. Is this for real?
Throw it in the notes. Can you make it chocolate instead?
Yeah, just throw.
No.
Just throw the peanuts on the chocolate donut and keep it moving. This is ridiculous.
Why don't we just pause the show and go get donuts?
Why is it a 20 to 35 minute wait?
That's crazy.
It's donuts. They're made. Just put them in the box.
Yeah, they're pretty much already done. Maybe they got to get here, though.
Yeah, I have no idea where it's at. This is terrible.
It's in East Sac.
Wait, for real?
No. I don't know.
Oh, like they ain't never getting here.
Yeah, it's been a tough day. We had pizza left, too, but it was only cheese.
Whoa, it's gone?
I might still, yeah, cheese is gross, man. Don't get that.
No, don't do that.
If it's gone. Kyle says it's gone.
If it's still here, I need one.
Oh, you won't believe this. The text got responded to. Okay. Oh. Wow. Okay. Who's bigger in Boston, Bruins or Celtics? The Celtics. Oh, sorry. You wanted to guess.
No. I was just saying what I said.
Dump that.
No. What I thought. I thought it was Celtics.
It is the Celtics. Hmm. This person would know. You guys will never guess who I'd text.
I mean, that feels fair. It's the team that's won the most out there.
Bruins are.
I just thought that, like, the Bruins have won, too. I mean, I know they don't have, like.
They love the Bruins.
18.
They love the Bruins.
Boston's still holding on to Larry Bird.
True. Very true. Did you see, I don't think it's the latest one, because maybe the other one came out, but I guess the Tuesday version of Joe Budden, and Ish talks about he went to game two.
Yeah, so was that the I don't think I got to that part. I didn't get to that part. Was it what you'd expect?
It was cool. He didn't like break down much, but he was just like, he's like, yeah, I've never been to Boston before. He's like, to the game or to the arena? He said, I've never been to Boston, period. He said, I got up in that arena and it's, man. I was definitely a minority in there. I ain't never seen it. Like he said, I've been to a lot of arenas.
Really, bro? You've never watched a game before?
Like, he said, I've been to a lot of arenas, a lot of stadiums. It ain't never been like that.
Well, it's different. John Poles is right. I just text Mitch. I just asked Mitch.
Mitch, no.
Yeah, you know, Boston's actually it's a nice. It's a nice city.
Looks
like it. Yeah, it's a nice place. There's just a lot of history there, man. There's just a lot of history there. I mean, even when you're walking through the historical part of it, it's like, there's a lot of history here. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, yeah, there's a lot of history here. I'm going to take my ass back to my room. But Boston overall,
I want to go to Boston.
The Rockland, you know, the suburb, if you will, of Boston, where they practice, where the Celtics actually practice. It's just outside of Boston. It's a really nice area.
Wittentown.
I don't think that's what it is.
Everything's a town.
I don't think that's true. It might be. But I don't think that it's true. I meant to ask this person if they'd come on our show. Yeah, literally never been on it before.
Yeah, I mean, what are they doing right now? Oh, well, Kyle's about to come on. But.
Yeah, this, yeah. Yeah, right. Hey, can you join the show like right now? Please. Idiot, I'm on an airplane. We'll see. We got to.
Even better, you don't have nothing else to do?
Well, we. Stream might not work.
Is it a PJ situation?
No. No.
No, I thought. Well, no. I didn't know if they.
Well, selective, but.
I didn't know if the place had.
No. 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 The last lengthy conversation was she was stuck in an airport.
Oh.
She was stuck at, I think it was O'Hare, for like 6 hours. That's always when I find out a lot of really good information is when she's stuck in an airport for 6 hours.
That's also what happened is she got stuck at the airport for 3 hours for a flight to Boston from Jersey to Boston.
Oh, my God,
and
dude.
He got stuck in the airport for 3 hours.
Bro, get on the train. Drive. What are you doing?
That's what Joe said. He's like, I was stuck there. And he said, I didn't get there till the second quarter.
Oh, my God,
he said,
bro.
I was pissed.
Why? He really flew from Jersey to Boston? That's wild. I mean, it's not a short drive.
To San Jose, maybe? Here to San Jose? Maybe a little more?
Oh, no. I feel like it's closer to...
Because that's what... Just
we could look it up. I feel like it's closer to 4 hours.
Oh. Oh
no, Jersey?
You're not driving.
Well, no. So New York, Jersey, you got to go through this side of Connecticut. You got to get to the...
We're not driving that one. No.
You're not driving.
I'm hopping on that Delta.
I gotta figure this out before Connor joins us.
4 hours.
Because it used to take me two to get to Boston,
it's four hours to Bakersfield. Well, I'm taking the train at least.
Who's driving to Bakersfield, though?
Well, I take the train to Bakersfield. Shout out to my cousin. They live in Bakersfield. They're about to come up.
You know, New Jersey. Where we're going? We're going to Boston. We just type in TD Garden. This is not going well. Yeah, this is riveting radio right here.
If it's more than 2 hours, more than 2.5 hours, then I need to find it.
What's the airport called? Newark, right?
Yeah, shout out Newark.
That's crazy that he did that.
Well, when you say it's 4 hours, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's four. No, I guess it's not. It's four hours and 31 minutes.
I might have took. Yeah, I would have looked for a plane, but I would have took the train as well.
Because he's driving all the like you're getting to Connecticut quick. Uh-huh. You're getting to the Stanford part of Connecticut. You're driving all the way through it up to Boston.
Not my job. Not
through Springfield and all of that. Yeah, that's a tough drive. That's a tough drive.
I would have took the train though. The train out there is dope. It's dope. You can. I guess the train out here is still pretty cool too. But out there, it just seems like you can directly hit the cities you're trying to go to. It feels like it goes to all those major cities. They all got stations. Like out here, you can't even go from Sacramento to L.A. without hopping on the bus.
Mm.
You got to hop on the bus in Bakersfield. Ooh, I don't want to do that. Mm.
I do.
I've done it.
Looking at some of these cities on this, I really do like the East Coast.
I mean,
I love the seasons and all that. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in our man, Connor. Connor's probably wondering how come no one noticed that Kyle Mattson's banner was up this entire time? I swear to God, this is the worst show in existence.
Bro, it's Friday. It's
how did no one notice that? Connor, I hate this show, dude. I swear. What's up, man?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
We good, man. It's Friday, though.
Yeah, you know, it's Friday. I swear.
That's a good thing, but just wild things happen on Friday.
Hey, Republic got a big weekend. We want to talk about all that. We got into a conversation earlier because we flipped to Germany or somebody
Euro,
was playing
what
earlier.
Is it, Euro Cup 2024?
Okay.
Euros.
Yeah, so we're discussing, you know, the ever-reoccurring conversation about soccer in America and will it ever truly, you know, become one of the big three, big four sports? If it's not now, where does it rank? How does the MLS compare to, you know, the Euro leagues and different things like that? Being around soccer far, far more than we are, like how popular do you think soccer is in our region and in our country?
I think it's a good question. I love it because I think about this a lot. Like, where do we stack up, right? I think regionally it depends. I think hockey's obviously in like Boston, New York. Mm-hmm. Those are all hockey. Like, people love hockey there. Mm-hmm. So I would say hockey's above, you know, the MLS teams there. But then you go to a place like LA, mm-hmm. and it's like, mm-hmm. I think LAFC, LA Galaxy, probably a little better than the Kings, although the Kings have been good. So mm-hmm. it's hard to mention where exactly they're at. I will say, I think we have maybe the biggest 6-year stretch of soccer in the United States coming up. Mm-hmm. We have the World Cup coming here in 2026. We have the Olympics in 2028 in LA. Mm-hmm. The U.S. men's national team is probably going, they're going to be all hitting this age in that 26 World Cup, where this is kind of our chance to make a run. And I think that's kind of the time where non-big soccer fans will tune in. Mm-hmm. The people who maybe are listening to this show, who maybe only really watch soccer once every 4 years, I watch the World Cup. U.S. men's national team goes a long way. Goes far, maybe, you know, gets a medal and maybe wins a gold for the first time ever. Maybe that sparks something. And I think with that, combine that with Messi coming to the MLS, we just saw another big signing for LA Galaxy, a little bit of an older player, Giroud coming from overseas. And I think if you start to see those players who play for the U.S. men's national team, we have a lot of them who still play in the MLS, but some of the stars, mm-hmm. they start playing in the MLS, I think that'll drive this the next level. But I think it's the U.S. men's national team doing well on the national stage first. I think that's the first step. But I will say this, Major League Soccer and soccer in the U.S. has grown so much, you know, kind of under the radar. But when you compare it to other leagues around the world, like now with some of these bigger players coming, you see viewership around the world also watching United States soccer, watching MLS, watching Messi with Inter Miami. So I think it's a little bit of a couple of those variables that need to go well for U.S. soccer. And I think that's kind of what is needed for the next steps. Where does it stack up? I feel like you guys would be able to have a better unbiased opinion of that.
Hey, Connor, I've talked to a number of soccer guys, soccer fans around here about this, and I don't know if they see my vision. Like Jesse, he understands the nature of soccer globally or whatever. And like I said, I got a mindset, I got a thought, and they just like, nah, it's not going to happen. That wouldn't make any sense. But my thought is, say for instance, my son ends up being the number one soccer prospect in America, and at 17 years old, is like number one soccer prospect in America.
He's on KC retiring. If that's the case,
we out of here. But you know, traditionally, that kid goes to Europe or the EPL or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be, because they have all the money and all this other stuff. My thought would be, especially if my son is the first in this respect, I would keep him here. I would say play in the MLS and you instantly become the biggest American soccer star in this country. You're not going to make MLS don't have the money that the EPL does. But maybe you can make that some of that up with a Nike contract or whatever,
right,
as opposed to going over there and they're like, you're good, but you're just kind of another guy. Like, you're another sign, and they're paying for you, whatever the case may be. You could be essentially a small fish in a big pond. Or you can stay here in America, lesser league or whatever the case may be, but you're a megastar. You're the one. And from the moment you sign until maybe the World Cup and after that, you are the one. Does that make sense? Is that realistic at all that might ever happen?
It might. And I think MLS is actually getting way closer to that than we were 10 years ago. For instance, Messi coming, right? But Messi didn't just come by himself. He brought Luis Suarez, who he obviously played with at Barcelona. So he brought other players with him, Jordi Alba. There's other guys who have also come. So like the fact that the MLS is like this lesser league, I think that stigma around the world is going away. Mm-hmm. And I think that when that stigma goes away around the world, I think then you'll start to see more things like that happening. But I will also say, like what the MLS has done with the League's Cup, where basically they're playing a tournament with the Liga MX teams, mm-hmm. which is great for growing the game in that direction for MLS teams. Like we need to see more MLS teams playing against these Premier League teams, mm-hmm. these Bundesliga teams, these worldwide brands. I think we need to see more of that. And I think what that'll do is expand that, because I think you're right. Like, how do we get the local stars to start playing, you know, here, right? Mm-hmm. I also think it's going to be interesting is, like, you know, we've talked about, if you do a pie of what percent of athletes locally, what sports are they playing, right? To go, it's a lot of basketball, it's a lot of football, it's a lot of baseball. I would say soccer is probably a little less. It's probably higher than hockey, right, if you're mm-hmm. comparing the big four or five. Maybe we start to see more people going and playing soccer versus football. Maybe some of those running backs who aren't getting paid as well mm-hmm. at mm-hmm. the NFL level, maybe they start to actually heard a con. This is, I stole this just as a take, by the way, but someone else said this and I thought it was an interesting point. Maybe these people start seeing like, ah, maybe you don't make as much as a running back. Maybe I play soccer and I can play similar style position. Obviously you gotta be a little better with your feet. Maybe we see more athletes do that. And I think what happens is once it's a domino effect, I think it'll just really continue, because say we say, oh, this is the best generation of U.S. men's national talent we've had in a long time. I think we're going to hopefully keep saying that every mm-hmm. decade, right? And then we're one of the top teams. I mean, we're a top 10 team in the world. We just haven't really performed at the World Cup. And that's what we kind of need to see, I think. I think that's the first domino.
But just a little local tie-in. I've heard, and Connor, you would know this more than I would for sure, but somebody told me that I trust was like Elk Grove Soccer is like one of the biggest young hubs in the country for soccer talent.
Elk Grove and Sacramento. Sacramento as a whole, if you count areas around Sacramento, is like the largest domestic youth soccer demographic in the nation. It's pretty wild how many soccer players we have here. And we got a lot of good ones too. I mean, we've seen multiple academy players, Tavian Kimbrough, who's 14, made his debut as a 13-year-old last year. Taller than all three of us, by the way.
I stood next to him. Yeah, he's at least like eye level with me. That's crazy. He's like 13 years old.
But you know, we're seeing things like that happen for this area. There's just a lot of local talent. A lot of kids, maybe they even don't go play pro. They go play in college somewhere. We just have a great, great soccer community here in Sacramento area, where we have all these kids who are playing and want to play at the next level. And I think we're seeing that even more maybe in the last 5 years. Mm.
I need to go back to being an agent. All these young people around here.
Do you have to like recertify or something?
You have to certify for each individual league.
Oh, get it going.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's been fun, everybody. You'll have to take Kyle's graphic off of the screen moving forward. Connor, let's talk about the business we got going on this weekend. Yeah. We got Brewfest. We got. Is it Rivalry Week? Is that the official? Does it have an official name like that, like we do in college football?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily Rivalry Week, but it's a regional rivalry. We play Oakland Roots. You know, it's a big game for us.
Absolutely.
Bigger game for them. They're a team that, listen, we've been around a little longer than they have. Yeah. So anytime they come to town, they know they're going to have a good crowd to play in front of. It's going to be a sellout. So tickets are going fast. So they're going to be up for this game. They really, really play well. They put their best group together when they play us, especially here. But it is a rivalry. Only 80 miles apart. Every time we play this team, they play well. I think we've combined for 24 goals in 10 games against mm-hmm. them. We've won the last three. So it's going to be a good match. There's a lot of fun happening around the stadium with Brewfest, post-match fireworks. So for those people who are maybe have never been to a game, this is a good one to come to. There's a lot happening.
Did because I think we had this conversation before too, but I always felt like Phoenix was a rivalry. I remember there was some things going on with San Antonio as well. But has Oakland taken the mantle as the number one rival with the Republic?
I don't think so. I still think it's Phoenix, and I'll tell you why. They've knocked us out of the playoffs twice, obviously last year. But if you remember in like now I can't remember the year. I think it was 2020. They knocked us out in a very debatable legal way, where they had a player, if you guys remember the video that went viral on social media, scored the goal to win the game with his left fist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you guys remember that. So mm-hmm. that was Phoenix. Now, different player, not on the same team, but I think just because of that aspect, it's still Phoenix 1. I would say Oakland in San Antonio, probably pretty even for two. But this is a big rivalry match. I love rivalry matches. It means it's going to be more physical. There's going to be more chirping. There's going to be more trash talking. Probably a little harder fouls. Like, it's going to be fun. I can't wait.
A soccer player scoring a goal with his hands was the normalest part of 2020. So you just need a little reminding there sometimes. But you mentioned the post-match fireworks and all that, man. Brewfest is jumping off, and I know that's a big part of tomorrow night's game as well.
Yeah, Brewfest. Listen, I'm going to be slinging some back. Don't tell anybody.
No, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's legal. Do, it's legal. You can't have Brewfest and be like, hey, guys, no drinking tonight.
No, I'll have a beer helmet on with beers on both sides. I'll have the straw ready. I'll have it all ready to go. No, Brewfest, it starts early. You have to have a ticket specifically for Brewfest. But if you buy a Brewfest ticket, it gets you a ticket to the match as well. Starts early at 5:30. I think. I don't know for sure. I believe you guys have some Brewfest tickets to give away. I'm not 100% sure on that. So don't
you're in charge, so we could do whatever you want. Like, you're the hey, if Connor says give away Brewfest tickets, we'll give them away.
Yeah, if you guys are down with it, I'm down with it. Absolutely. But yeah, no, it'll be a great atmosphere. 18 local breweries, plus we got some wine for those people who aren't beer people, some ciders, all kinds of stuff. Should be a good time.
Connor by the second half. Everybody with me. Oakland sucks. You jackasses.
Connor's starting to light the beam, Chan.
Let's go. Light the beam. Light the beam.
But he can't quite get it right. Shine the light. Come on, man. Shine the light. We got it. It's jumping off tomorrow, man. It's always a great time. And the weather is like immaculate. Like yesterday evening was
got
gorgeous.
A little chilly, bro.
Yeah. It was. I had the windows open last night.
You got a little chilly. I threw on a little long sleeve.
Man, that's perfect. Yeah. Hey, that's perfect for the pitch tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's perfect for
Connor,
the pitch.
You big rivalry game on Saturday, but you know we can't let you go without talking about this U.S. Open Cup game. Seattle Sounders coming to town.
Oh, yeah.
What's that? It's July 9th, I think it is?
Yep. July 9th. 9th. Yep.
I mean, how excited is everybody for that again? And especially to get another home game again in this U.S. Open.
Yeah, I'm fired up, man. I can't wait. I think the energy from the game that I think last time we talked, which is the San Jose game, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. That game was unbelievable. We went down twice in extra time. We went down 3-2, scored twice within 60 seconds.
Crazy.
It was crazy. It was unbelievable. The crowd was awesome. I think pretty much everybody who was at that game is going to want to be at this Seattle Sounders game. It's going to be electric, man. It's a chance. And if Sacramento can pull it off, we would host the next round. So it's an opportunity for the city to show out as well. And I think we got a team this year that's really, really solid. And I think we have a chance. Seattle's been not nearly as good as we've seen historically, but they got a lot of good players. So we're excited for that one. And, you know, it's a little Tuesday night soccer. Who doesn't love that? And of course, single elimination. I mean, I know Damian's got to like make sure he's checking his pulse, make sure we're okay on the heart rate over there.
That's a lot. You guys are a lot. You're a lot to deal with. You guys are a lot to deal with, man, when we're emotionally invested. But I got to tell you this, Connor, I know we got the big game against Oakland coming up tomorrow, all of that. I'm not here on the 9th. I need you to grab the squad, be like, hey, D'Lo's not here. Mm-hmm. We need to get this done so he can be at the next one.
I love it.
Win it for D'Lo on three. One, two, three.
I can't promise
is D'Lo?
As we said it earlier, I don't know. I might be a couple beers in at that point, so
win
I'm not
it
sure.
For D'Lo. No, and Connor, right. Also, no pressure at all. You know, look, hey, we could talk off. I need one of those. I need one of those pitch side couch joints, man. I need that one. That's why I always wanted to be there.
You hear this?
Always wanted to be there.
Just
one of the couch joints, man. Pitch side, man. You know.
I still got that custom jersey. I never sent it. I got it.
Oh, I need that.
I'm not gonna. But
I think the one you're talking about. No, I don't need. I don't need that one, Connor.
The one that says
I don't
okay.
need that one, Connor. No, he got the custom jersey of the shirt.
What's it say?
Well, we gonna smash.
What's it say, Kenny?
We playing Oakland. We gonna smash them boys. We play in Oakland. We gonna smash them boys on Saturday. I'm just saying we're gonna win. We don't have to put that on a shirt.
You tried to pause me for saying who's bigger in Boston, and you're talking about smash them boys.
Jesse saw that. I was wild.
No, he did not.
Kyle saw that one too. That was wild.
All right, Connor. I apologize, Connor. This show is so juvenile. SacRepublicFC.com to copy your tickets for both Brewfest and the big game against Oakland. We appreciate you so much, Connor. We'll come back with more. It's Dylan with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Let's tie up a couple things here real quick. Connor mentioned we've got some tickets to Brewfest to give away. If you want to cop those, you can hit up Jesse right now. We just got two tickets we're going to throw out, 916-909-1320. Jesse, we'll just email the name to Connor. Like, just get a name and phone number. We'll shoot that over to Connor. But the Sac Republic FC wanted to make sure we had something to give away for Brewfest tonight.
It's gonna be a good look.
Yeah, so check that out. As we welcome in our man, who needs no introduction, Big Gus Armstead, one of the most important and influential figures here in the city of Sacramento.
One of the pillars, man. One of
talk
the
about it
out here, man.
And, appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man. And we always we talk to you about once a year. We need to make it more, but it's that time of year, man.
Yep.
The pro-am going down at Fortune High School.
Yep.
Starting on Monday, right?
Yep. Monday 6:30 and 8 games.
Okay.
It's like 6 teams in the league, so
okay.
Excited, man. A lot of guys been working hard, ready to show what they can do.
This is a big event. Like this, like everybody looks forward to Gus's. Like, I mean, it's not just the kids that pull up. Like there's some big boys that pull up to see Gus's to see Gus's league jump off.
Yeah, man, I've been blessed, man. The league started as a program Coca-Cola had for NBA teams for people in the inner city to come to games that couldn't afford it. So when the Kings first got here, that's how it started.
Yeah.
And then the league is just involved over 30-some years where, man, I've been able to, you know, Mitch Richmond, Kenny Smith, Gary Payton. There's been so many guys that have come through the league and so many other guys that have went to Europe or Asia to play. So it's really been cool to watch.
You said Mitch Richmond. Yeah. Those guys. Kenny Caraway came through.
Yeah, this is true story.
But I say that to say, like, I was able to play, and that was, like, such an honor for me. Like, first of all, being able to do – your workouts in the morning and going out there and being able to, you know, get some tutelage from you and work with those other guys from around there and then to be able to play in that game. I was in high school, you know, going to the pro-am and watching those guys play and then to actually be out there and play, it's dope. And then to think that was – I was 06.
Yeah.
So we almost 20 years later, it's still kicking. How long has the pro-am been going on?
Well, it started when the Kings first came here, so – when I got out of college playing 85, so it was the summer of 86.
Okay.
Was the first year at Sac City that the league started. So,
man.
You know, even for a guy like me that was average, it was a big opportunity, you know, to play with Kenny Smith and KJ and guys like that. It was a pretty big opportunity. So,
yeah,
it's a program that gives guys a chance, man.
Because,
you know, guys play everywhere now. So it's not just if you don't make it to the NBA, like, it's over. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got guys playing in every part of the world and being compensated well. So I think this is just something that helps these guys with that opportunity.
Yeah.
When did you feel like this thing really started gaining traction for you?
I think, you know, right after Mitch, you know, Brian Grant, guys like that. I remember Jim Les would play every night and he would just be killing people. And I think when there started to be this thing where guys could make money in the area as far as being pros.
Mm.
So a lot of guys just focused on that. And there were people, you know, that would come to town to connect. Henry Turner.
Mm.
Oh, I remember a guy talking to me about Henry Turner. Do you know Henry? I got this opportunity in Italy. And just from Henry playing in the summer league, that opportunity and the fact that Henry actually, the Kings saw Henry playing in the summer league at Sac State and brought Henry in, and then Henry ended up making it to the league. So to answer your question, I think that when guys get opportunity, then the traction starts. So the other guys see, man, hey, this guy's
there's something here.
Yeah, it's something to this. And it's a high-level guy playing against each other, competing with each other. And then when those opportunities happen, man, there's some energy in that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. How does that how does that go when Mitch, or we'll use people today, if Keegan Murray was like, I want to play tonight. Like, obviously, he's not on a regular roster. Do you like, I think in the past, you've had a team, and that's where those guys would go if they wanted to play. Is that the same way?
Yeah, well, if guys at that level want to play, they play.
You find
somebody,
a team.
Somebody goes, if it's 10 jerseys, one of them cats say, go get one. Pull up. But yeah.
Sorry, KC, not tonight, pal.
Gotta take my jersey off, give it to Keegan.
But, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you want those type of guys to play in these type of programs. To show, man, and it's really good for the kids, you know, for kids to see someone up close. I mean, probably one of the guys that was so loyal to my program was, you know, Bobby. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Bobby would play every night, work out every morning, and just engage with the people to show how genuine of a person that he was. And you can see the career he's had even after that is a testament to, like, who he is as a person. So, I think it's a lot involved in it, but it's definitely inspirational to see that high level of guy, like, even, you know, just playing ball in the summer.
Yeah,
guys, I might be pull that microphone a little bit closer to you. No, are you good?
You got the baritones.
Well, see, I was gonna ask if Gus ever thought about, like, reading commercials or.
I got approached, man, but I'm a hand model, so I rather do the hand model thing.
Come on, man! All right. Come on, man! You can do it all, man!
All right. Yeah, evaluate my hands. How did that like, can I do it? Like, I don't know. What type of training do you do to be a hand model?
It's just
a lot of cocoa butter, a lot of cocoa oil,
cocoa butter, Vaseline gel. No, I tease people on my social media. I say I'm a hand model, and it's funny because like 50% of the people believe me. So.
Yeah, hey,
you ain't got no nicks or nothing on the head. It could happen. It could absolutely happen.
Perfect.
Yeah,
it's perfect. Do when you know we get to that time, this thing about to jump off. Do people start calling you like, hey, Gus, I'm gonna pull up, or do they just
definitely
pull up?
Definitely.
Like, hey, let's go.
Yeah, guys start talking, and there's other, you know, supporters that have their own teams. Some of the other trainers in town, you know, Ryan Sipkins, Marcus Kirkland, the Yuba guys, the CRC guys. So a lot of guys have started hitting us up because they know it's that time of year, and you know, a lot of guys want to get some runs. So definitely start getting some calls.
Well,
we try to accommodate the guys, man, because, you know, it's a developmental program.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna just ask the question, Gus, man. I'm greedy, man. Like, I want more. It's 17 to the 20th, but I want more. How we get, you know, more summer league action, developmental action, like, you know, for 2-3 weeks.
That's the goal next year, man. And people like you guys support me, I mean, I think, and supporting overall the program, I think that's how it happens, man. Mm-hmm. So I would love to do 2 weeks, you know, bring in more teams, because usually we do it right up until it's time to go to Vegas, because I have so many clients that be up, you know, for the summer league.
Yeah.
So, man, with support, like, you know, what you guys are showing, love you supporting.
Absolutely.
You're showing. I mean, I think it's going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it, even after it's been 30-something years.
Yeah.
I'm still excited about it.
Yeah.
Because kids like Jalen Wells, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's local kids, Coleman Hawkins. There's all these kids that are starting to go.
Coleman going
to
play in it?
Well, Coleman is actually went back to school.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, Coleman, Jalen, Jordan Ford, those guys all played when they were in high school.
Yeah, you know? I remember seeing that.
And that's a beautiful thing to see is the development of guys. You know, Gabe, right out of St. Mary's, was playing in the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were training. So, it's – that's kind of what my thing is, to just watch these guys grow and watch their careers grow. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get see these guys, the Mike McKinney's and some of these guys from Sac State are buying houses and being super successful, and they use basketball as a platform. Yeah. So it's really cool.
I remember when I played, the year I played, Ryan Anderson was playing. I think he was like 18.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, this kid at 18 is a problem.
Ryan,
like he didn't flinch, man, in the pro-am at 18 years old out of Oak Ridge. Man, he was official.
Yeah, Ryan's mom brought him to me. I think he was in like 10th grade, and it's just something about him, man. I was like, this dude. And then I remember the Cal guys talking to me, hey, man, how good do you really think he's going to be? Mm. I was like, man, he's only going to be there 2 years. Like, no way. I'm like, bro, 2 years, he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
2 years, Ryan was a first round pick. But to your point, Kenny, he was out there with the pros, and he was a factor as a kid in high school, just the way he knew how to play. And Ryan had a, 12-13-year career.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You get nervous around draft time, working with all these young people?
I would say it's excitement.
Mm.
I would say it's more excitement because it's a confirmation of their work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a blessing to see. you know, when that happens. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, I met Festus, and he had got cut at Jesuit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And then Festus was a first-round pick for the Warriors after he left Vanderbilt. So that is kind of confirms, like, you know, the reason that I do what I do, trying to empower and try to, you know, give kids some hope.
Yeah.
And when that kind of stuff happens, I mean, it's a blessing, man. It really is.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Gus Armstead here with us. The Pro-Am, Sacramento Pro-Am, starting up on Monday.
It's like the official kickoff to Summer League.
It really is. No, it's the California Classic before the California Classic.
Yeah, it's for real.
Yeah, man. It, out here, that's what I know myself, Damian, too, people in the basketball community, that's what we look forward to, man. It's like, oh, it's Pro-Am time.
Man,
like,
I appreciate
it. It's good to go, man.
So, I appreciate y'all for real, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I got to ask you, man. Like I said, we ain't got to go too in-depth, but I just want to know, Eric good, man? Everything good?
He good, man. It's business.
It sucked to see that happen, man. I was like, man, for real?
It's tough, but, you know, it's business, and me and him had a couple of conversations. It's just like, hey, you know, they can't take that much off. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if it had been a different number, then maybe, but, I mean, it's just, you know, for what his expectations were, you know, he just had to make some personal decisions, man.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.